Ladies and gentlemen, good evening and welcome to another edition of PZ85 Plays. I am your Game Master, Double H, and a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, the final episode of the Star Wars Dawn of Defiance campaign began. Jaws of the Sarlacc is finally here. Let's introduce your cast, beginning as always with the co-owner and creator of Podzilla 1985. Playing Harati Tar is Shannon Young.
That's not my name.
All right, Dark Spirit Will Smith.
Oh, I was going to go with Crust, but I guess that's a good one, too. Also, for the record, Lindsay wanted me to open this show with the Jaws theme because of the name of the episode. I'm not going to do that, so.
I thought it would be funny. I just went back and re-listened to the episode that we started with Star Trek music and got all weird.
And I got
slapped. Well, that's back when we were praising Jonathan Frakes and Riker.
Yeah, and I got slapped by George Lucas, so.
George Lucas gonna sue somebody. Hey, you just heard our Both and Spy Iris Nay Lindsay Wolfgang.
Hello.
And you've also got the Jedi himself, Sigurd Talon, played by Tanner Calvert.
I'm gonna break this jive turkey's jaw.
Your brother dead.
Don't talk about my brother right now.
And Kruskog Zubane, our other resident Jedi, played by Cody Sandusky.
Hercules, Hercules.
Your old Jedi's dead.
Oh, my gosh. So anyway, what Shannon's referring to, if you go back and listen to the long-running now previous
episodes
of the
Dawn of Defiance
campaign, we just wrapped up episode 9, Sword of the Empire, which, was arduous. It was an arduous adventure, I think is the best way to put it, for the crew of the Midnight Coterie. They trekked all across Praketh, invaded the Citadel Inquisitorius, made their way all the way to the tip-top, only to be confronted by their former crewmate, Craed Halen, the then-turned Inquisitor Sordidum, who managed to eliminate Jedi Master Denia before they could rescue her. There was a very emotional situation there between Craed and his brother Sigurd. Sigurd tried to rescue him. That didn't work. He tried to at least bring his body with him. That didn't work as well. And so it was a very down note to end on. I told you guys at that time, after speaking with Bail Organa, that he had strongly recommended that you all meet up with Lady Alia Aldrete to discuss a plan to finish this thing out once and for all and to deal with the Sarlacc project. And as I recall, the Coterie had jumped to hyperspace and was heading in that direction. Yes, we good?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Really quick before I get into the opening crawl, just as a point of fact, our heroes are finally at level 20. This is the first time I have ever managed to run this campaign all the way to the bitter end. So this is the first time I've ever had max level characters, which is wild. For the record, Graz is rocking 3 force points per day. Harani and Iris are up to 4 a day. Sigurd and Kruskog both have 6. And then Destiny points, everybody has 1 except Kruskog, who managed to save 1 from the previous episode. He is sitting at 2. But that's going to be basically what they have now through the end of the campaign. So bear in mind, every time you hear a force point get called, unless of course a full day passes, and even the Destiny points don't get called. Anytime you hear one of those get called out, it is a calculated move, because this may be the last time they get a chance to use them.
Also,
good?
Also, yes? Can I make a point? Can I make a note?
Yes.
I have a suggestion, aka I think it should be a requirement, that whenever we roll our dice, we say the roll every time. Because sometimes we don't, we just kind of go along with it, and I'm sure the people listening at home are going, well, what did he roll? So I think that would just be handy for the people that are listening.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we've tried to get to making that point each time. At the very least, you don't have to call out all the numbers and everything, but what the ultimate result of that roll is would be... Yeah. Would be handy. That's handy for me too, because I'm almost always on 3 different screens, and that way I don't have to always go back to roll 20 to see.
Yeah, okay. I've been listening to old episodes, and we just kind of picked that up on the car ride home one day. There was a few stents where none of it was said, and it was just like, okay, this happens, but
that
why?
Didn't work. the inverse. Okay, you got it. Well, what'd you do?
I think the only thing that we call out consistently is 1s and 20s, because those are fun or funny, yeah, depending on the situation.
And the funny thing is they all sound the same way at first.
Oh!
Nailed it. All right. Star Wars Dawn of Defiance, Episode 10, The Jaws of the Sarlacc, begins with its opening crawl, which reads, "The galaxy rests at a tipping point as the forces of evil have struck a devastating blow against the Alderaan resistance. But all is not lost, and even now, the Alderaanian noble lady Alia Aldrete has summoned allies to take part in the daring attack on the Empire, including the crew of the Midnight Coterie. The fate of the Resistance hangs in the balance as a small band of great heroes has a chance to strike a blow that will echo through the ages and show others that even the mighty Empire can be defeated. As the episode opens, you are currently in the midst of a hyperspace jump on your way to meet Lady Aldrete. What have your... is not much time has passed, for the record, but I'll give you approximately 2 hours of real time. What have your characters been up to in that passing time? Anybody jump in, let me know.
Sleeping.
That's fair. I anticipated at least a little bit of that, yes.
Sigurd definitely got some sleep, but he's going to be meditating on the events that have transpired. He's upset, man. He just lost his brother.
Harani has been wired AF. She has not slept, and I don't know if she's going to sleep anytime soon. She's like a businessman of the 80s. She's so coked up right now on rage and regret and guilt and all these different emotions. So she's mostly just been flying silently with Graz, but she does sneak away occasionally to the bathroom to pull out Kraid's lightsaber and just kind of study it and look it over.
Graz, to that end, has never been this quiet in the entire time that any of you have known him. Graz is never going to his vocoder. He is simply just kind of going through the motions, pressing buttons. You can tell he cares. You can tell he's concerned. But he is just sort of trying to keep it all together without injecting anything additional.
Hrushkog efforts to get sleep, but he doesn't. If anyone were to have a camera on him or the scene were to be focused on him while he's in his bunk, you're going to see much in the way of tossing, turning, and a sudden jolt of him sitting up in a cold sweat in his eyes the size of $5.
Yeah.
Something's happened.
Shannon, real quick, what is Raynard up to? Because Raynard was on the ship when it took off, so... you guys left him back with the coterie, as I recall.
Yeah, Raynard has been just kind of doing very tactical things. He's still on the lookout for Narada. He's still on the lookout for Ripley. All these people that Harani has lost that she still hasn't gotten any answers from Bail Organa or anyone, even though she keeps doing their bidding and keeps like fighting and suffering. So he is trying to help her for reasons. He has a vested interest in her and helping her that he has not tipped his hand to yet.
I can't not hear Red Ships of Spain for a reason. Undetermined.
That was the worst and best thing we've ever done was when me, you, and Matt Sism did that intro.
It's true, yeah.
It was great. I was happy to be there as a witness. I'm going to make a note just asking. Did we dump Jek Sejo like somewhere in the midst of hyperspace travel?
I think you whipped a battery at him at one point.
It's completely up. he was wandering around on the deck of the ship, and no one seemed to notice the air.
Out the airlock.
He was actively trying to help you guys fly the ship. At some point in time, he pretty much just resigns himself to a seat and is kind of at your both beck and call and mercy. Yeah, whatever you want to do with him. I mean, for the record, he did save your lives.
Yeah, I think Harani is... basically welcomed him. She hasn't welcomed him to the crew of the coterie in the sense that she gave him, you know, flowers and said thanks, but she very silently nods at him and allows him to stay. So he is more or less joined up with Peanut and Bainlin and become
poor
a
Peanut.
Poor Peanut. He talks to Peanut a lot.
And he, for the record, I mean, he, as you guys are making your way to rendezvous with Lady Aldrete, I mean, he makes mention, like, if she has anything that I can do, if I need to get out of your way, I'll do whatever needs to be done, whatever I can do to help. His demeanor has turned, like, a complete 180. He was super problematic before, but you can see now that maybe that's just a string of bad luck. He's actually relatively competent. He just finds himself in the wrong place at the wrong time far too often. Get down, do you? Excuse me. So about 2 hours pass in terms of hyperspace travel time. you guys have been sent some basic hyperspace route, like, correspondence on which way you should go, and that's what you've been following to this rendezvous point. When the ship prepares to drop out and everyone kind of takes their positions, it would probably be you, Harani, and Graz who would notice initially that as you drop out of hyperspace, you are still well within the deep core security zone, that effectively you appear to be somewhere around sort of a gas giant, a big gas cloud, which obviously is going to obscure a little bit of radar. It's a pretty impressive sight because there are hundreds, if not approaching thousands, of other vessels floating in that space, and it's almost concerning at first, because for a split second you think this can't possibly be good. You guys are used to working on your own or working with small, you know, groups of fighters. But looking around, you can see this is very clearly not an Imperial approach. It is a ragtag collection of what you would call basically tramp freighters. There's like modified bulk haulers, some Clone War era capital ships, and just like basically a motley assortment of different vessels. This is not the pristine ships of the Empire. Another correspondence code comes through. This is directly from Lady Aldrete herself, which has invited you to dock on her flagship. It is a heavily modified Corellian gunship off to the side that is named the Slice of Life, interestingly enough. And she's got to maintain appearances, right? Yeah. You know, so
she's also sponsored by Slice, the soda company.
Yes.
It's painted orange.
I like it. I'm going with it. It's fine. So, yeah, she's invited the Coterie to dock there, and you have immediate clearance to make your way there if you're ready to do so.
Yeah, I don't know what else we do.
I'm about to say, yeah. Okay.
Fair enough. So the ship, the Coterie, banks inward toward her, toward the docking bay, the main docking bay on her ship. Once you bring it in for a landing, make a pilot check for me, Harani, if you would, really quick.
That's something I can do. I will pull up my sheet that I did forget to do, though. All right, I brought up my sheet. I am now going to roll 20. I am typing the numbers in now. I am hitting the button. 38.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's no problem at all. You're able to come in for a clean landing. No issues. A couple of other ships whiz by in the process. It looks like some people are leaving and coming from the ship. As you bring the Coterie in for a landing, the deck crew immediately jumps in. You can kind of feel them from the outside of the ship plugging in refueling lines and doing all sorts of things. A couple of them, once you lower a landing ramp, actually make their way upward with like crates of equipment, and they make mention to you immediately because they know that you are the pilot, or the owner, I guess I should say, but also the pilot, that they have been ordered to deliver some supplies, basically basic stuff, food, water, medical equipment, etc., to restock anything that you're missing.
Hunter, I lied to you.
So pretty much. Okay.
I'm looking at my sheet right now, and I thought plus 28. That doesn't sound right. I think I put a 28 instead of a 18. So
yes, you did.
28, 38 in this case. It's so, red M&M, blue M&M. They all end up the same.
I'm going to fix that, though, so go ahead.
Okay. We'll keep that 10, though. That's fine. So, yeah, basically they're just looking at you kind of, you know, hey, where do you want this stuff?
Put it in the back.
Yes.
You're also very white.
Yeah, you are, like, glowing. Washed.
You are glowing.
Yeah.
It's because he's wearing a white hoodie, too.
Yeah, I figured my treat injury is a plus 30. How the hell did I do this? Like, I don't know where I screwed up there.
You jacked something up.
Somehow?
Well, like, because it's half level, which is 10, plus my abilities, and somehow I equated that to plus 20. So I'm fixing.
Did you maybe add the previous numbers?
I might have, yeah. Because
it should always be just your half level, your ability mod, and then if you're trained or focused in any of them.
Right.
Like, realistically, most of yours are going to be, you know, early to mid-20s. 20, yeah, I was going to say. Graz is a 20 in pilot.
The only thing that I... All right, so I've got it fixed now. The only thing that I had that was legitimate is my persuasion, which legitimately is not plus 35. Motherfucker. I got it.
I was waiting for it to be a high number.
Sheet and I didn't notice it that carefully. I didn't look that carefully, so...
All right, well, I got it fixed now. We're good now. Okay, so what was the question? We got some shit?
There's a couple of guys coming up with, like, storage boxes. You remember how the two stormtroopers carry that big box onto the Millennium Falcon in A New Hope? Big, like, trunk? Yeah. It's the same kind of thing, but they up front, I mean, these guys are clearly not armored in that way. And they make mention that Lady Aldrete has, along with Bail Organa, put together basically some care packages. They've got food, they got water, they got medical supplies. Where do you want this stuff?
Harani's going to look at Jack. It's Jack, right? She asked him.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because she was so distracted and all that, she doesn't even remember his name. She just remembers him as the annoying little thing. She says, Jack, you're in charge of this stuff. Put it somewhere.
Yes, ma'am. And he hops up and gives a jaunty little salute and kind of starts going, okay, boys, you know, follow me. And he's been on the ship for a while, so he's got a pretty good of idea of where things go this point.
I appreciate the jauntiness.
he even makes mention, like, yeah, we ran out of this and this, so you're going to want to put this stuff here first. And you kind of hear their voices fade off as they head back toward the interior of the ship.
Mr. Peanuts being supplanted as the maitre d' of the ship. I don't know how you feel about that.
Oh, no.
You just kind of see him do the, oh, my.
Harani very much looked over at Mr. Peanut and nodded at him so he would follow to make sure Jack didn't screw anything up. So
it's the meme where the two of them ask you, which one's your favorite? And you go, I love you both. But then you hold Peanut back a little bit and whisper to him, it's you, and by a lot. okay, if you're ready, you can disembark the ship at any time unless there's anything else you need to do. For the record, make sure you're kind of declaring what you're taking with you at this point so that you have it on you in case you want to use it.
For me, it's just my blaster lightsaber, my blaster, and my other lightsaber. And my jetpack, which I forget that I have every single time.
All right. It's hefty. I mean, it's like a...
Yeah.
It's got a little weight to it.
Might have come in handy, though, with that last fight, though, when she could have possibly skyrocketed up to the platform, but I didn't think of it.
It's true.
Yeah.
Graz never unequips unless he has to, unless he's told he has to leave anything behind, so it's bowcaster across one sling on his back. Graz, for the record, you're used to seeing that vibro axe of his. He upgraded. He traded that in. He's now rocking a power hammer. Which, if you've ever played Fallout, it looks a lot like that.
He's a paladin now.
It's the same concept. Yeah. It's got a little, like, microgravity repulsor in it, and it deals another die up of damage. Instead of D10s, it's D12s. That's the main reason I did it.
I didn't even think of it being a Fallout thing. And like I said in the chat, I immediately pictured the grab hammer from Halo, so that makes sense, too.
Oh, yeah.
I always think of the hammer from Smash Brothers. Every time Graz goes to fight, he goes,
Well, now it's quite accurate because it's an actual hammer now, too.
Yeah.
Yep. Anybody else taking or leaving anything in particular behind?
What's coming with me this time?
Yeah. Hunter, I was going to ask you about thermal detonators.
Tanner, your audio sounds like it's passing through the system of a sick old woman.
That's because I'm on my earpods and I want to head downstairs and take care of something.
Okay.
We'll worry about that another time. Ask me between now and next week.
Okay, also, another joke about the hammer. It's a game of Watch's hammer. Just every time he hits, it's a 9.
I'll take that.
Bell, baby.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Toss the sausages. Just toss them.
Okay, so of the things you have, is there anything... I'm more concerned with, is anybody leaving anything behind?
No.
That I need to know about?
No.
Okay, sounds good. I just don't want to get into a situation of, well, do you have that on you?
Reynard is... I'd say Reynard's with them, but I never did upgrade his sheet, so maybe I should leave him behind. Well, you said there probably wouldn't be any combat. Yeah, he's with us.
It's up to you. You can bring him along.
He's with us.
That's fine by me. Okay. You guys are there's like a courtesan basically waiting for you to show you to some temporary quarters. Lady Aldrete has set up a couple of you know, nice places for you to all. Separate rooms for everyone. Again, it's a nice ship. This is a ship that she formerly used for its non-gunship capabilities and has very much started kind of dropping the personal facade. So nice rooms, nice accommodations. It's nothing flowery or over the top, but comfortable beds, plenty of space, personal restrooms for each one, places to wash up and rest and all that good stuff. And this person has been told, there's a couple of them actually, have been told to show you to these quarters. It's fairly late in the evening at this point anyway. So if you will go along with them, unless anybody has any deviation plans from that, you're all shown to your own individual rooms, told that there are meals that are being brought around soon. It's fairly standard fare, not military fare for by any stretch of the imagination, but basic stuff, the kind of stuff that can be made quickly and keeps well and will keep you full. And that's basically the order of the night. Lady Aldrete pretty much says, we will speak in the morning. I'm going to allow you a chance to rest and fresh up, kind of through her people, passes this message along. And makes mention that, you know, when you're rested, we will be on the command bridge. Please come and meet us so we can discuss the next steps. So that's the order of the evening from me. Whatever you'd like to do before you decide to sleep is completely up to you.
Hirani is tinkering with the lightsaber. She does not sleep.
It'll be dangerous, like, I'm going to tell you, but that's a choice you can make.
I know. I'm flavoring it. I'm okay. Willing to accept the consequences.
Okay.
Sigurd would like to go talk to Hirani.
Okay.
As we've both had an emotional couple days here.
Okay. Once you're in a room, the doors by design are locked, so you won't be able to just walk in. She'll have to buzz you in.
That's fine. I'm going to knock on the door. I'm going to hit her with that. Just a soft little tap. Just a little tap.
Just tap, tap, tappy?
That will do you.
Right now, she is hostile to you. So go ahead and give me a persuasion roll to see if... No, it's fine. She opens up the door and just kind of walks over to her desk.
Just want to check up on you. You seem just about as upset about what happened as I am.
She's quiet. Not like rude quiet. Like, she's not trying to be antagonistic. She's just, for the first time in her life, she's kind of at a loss for words. She just keeps staring at the lightsaber and just kind of looking at it, and her mind's just racing, and she just kind of nods and gives you uh-huhs. Shut him down, didn't I? Shut down his entire microphone.
You muted him.
He doesn't know what to do.
While he's doing that, we can Oh, never mind. Go ahead.
He was switching.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
I was going to ask her, what's the matter? Her Iris got your tongue?
She then pulls the lightsaber out and stabs Sigurd many times with it. No.
You hear Kurskopf through the Force just say, boo! Boo this man!
You don't even have to roll for that. I'll allow it.
Iris walks into the room, slaps Sigurd, then goes back and says, keep my name out your fucking mouth.
Keep my name!
I'm going to, okay?
Wow, dude.
That was a Bothan joke.
That stupid joke is enough to make her crack a smile. For the first time in a long time.
It's obvious. It appears that you were close to him. You know, I'd like to know a little bit more about my brother.
She stops what she's doing. She's got a couple little tears in her eyes at that. And she turns around and she kind of smiles at you and says, sit down, let's have a talk. And then they just spend however long talking about it. I don't think we have to go over it piece by piece, but just the fact that they are having the conversation. She is telling him everything she knew about him and how much she admired him.
While that's going on, what is anybody else up to?
In Iris's case, having taken a nap on the coterie, once she's settled in her room, she's probably going to go over the events that have happened most recently and try and take down some notes to compile them into everything else that we have been through on our adventures. And at one point, her ears twitch a little bit, sensing that someone is speaking of her.
Well, it's either that or someone's got one of those little cat toys with the fur thing on the end, and they're just, yeah.
It's like a little feather and a jingle bell.
But once she's got all that type of stuff done, she will probably go wash up and turn in to get full sleep rather than just her little, no pun intended, cat nap from the ship.
Now, does she shower or...
More,
like licking the hand or...
Yes, she showers.
Okay, I'm just curious. That's got to smell awful.
Cruise dog, what about you?
They make hair dryers.
Good lord. Cruise dog, actually, funny enough, you mentioned like taking notes. Cruise cog is going to do the same. Whatever the dream was that rocked him, as he lays there trying to get rest, he still has flashbacks and kind of playbacks of it in his head. And so he, for lack of a phrase, jots it down. He's trying to put words to screen so he can parse out what is going through his head. Whatever it is that happened with Master Denia unlocked something, and he can't figure it out right now.
Okay. Hirani, yours and Sigurd's conversation is a occasionally, how do I put this, soundtracked by sounds from the wall next door where Graz is of just
he's a good boy.
Walls are very thick, and at least once that thought crosses your mind, how in the hell? That's it.
She bangs on the wall and yells, "Shut up, furball!" But it's so thick he can't hear that, but they can hear him snoring.
It just keeps on throughout the course of the evening. Okay, I'll let you guys decide how long that conversation goes and how much rest you may or may not actually want to get. But it will be relevant if you do or do not do that.
Let's say it goes on for at least an hour or two, and then Hirani tells Sigurd that she's tired and she wants to get some sleep, and she walks him to the door and thanks him for showing interest in his brother. And then... Well.
Thank you. Thank you for helping me peek into the person he was. And by the way, if you ever need help or, you know, want some suggestions on some of the things you're coming into, give me a holler. I'd be glad to help.
She smiles at him and closes the door. And then when she turns around, the smile just completely fades. And she walks back over to the desk and just stares.
Okay. So, effectively, Hirani is the only one who does not rest at all over the course of this night, right? Is what I'm gathering? Okay. Noted. Morning comes. Yes.
I thought to myself, okay, maybe making Hirani like a full-on drug abuser at some point might be going too far. But do they... Because I've thought about it. Like, it seems like a natural way to go to try to kill the pain. We'll talk about that later. Are there space uppers that she could take to stay awake because she doesn't want to go to sleep?
I mean, there's certainly death sticks.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know if death sticks are uppers or downers. I'll have to look into that. That feels like an incognito search I'll need to make later on.
Already on it.
What about spice? Spice definitely seemed like it'd be an upper.
Spice, I would suspect, is an upper. Spice feels like it would just... I mean, just the word spice feels like it would be an up and not a down kind of thing.
Cody, check that for me on spice, because if spice is an upper... Hirani...
And careful with it, because spice is going to go to Dune if you don't say Star Wars specifically.
Because I could see...
Oh, sure enough. Apparently, in Star Wars Galaxies, there was someone in the forums from many moons ago talked about the effects that spice had in the game, because there were spice basics. In Star Wars Galaxy, spices were portable buffs that could be used on demand. They would enhance certain stats, followed by a 2-minute downer period.
Well, so, that seems like a cool down.
Yeah, it's more
like
of a RPG thing.
I would think the drug itself sounds like an upper. If I had to guess, spice up, death stick down.
Yeah, nothing about death
alcohol
stick
as normal down. Yeah, that'd be my guess. So if she's wanting to boost her mood, it's probably more of a spice thing.
And she's rich enough and she has connections enough that I feel like she could get this without everyone knowing.
It might not be the easiest thing in the world, but it's certainly not out of the question.
It's her dirty little secret right now.
Okay. We'll talk more. Keep me like a running set of notes. We need to talk about that saber. We need to talk about that Kruskog, or not Kruskog. Sigurd needs thermal detonators. Like, you guys just keep these notes and shoot me some messages.
I'll message you. Yeah.
When we're all said done, and we'll work it out between now and next week for sure. In any case, the evening passes, the morning comes. It's relatively early, let's say 8-9 o'clock approximately on a 24-hour cycle. Lady Alderite's invitation was to meet her in the command bridge, that she and her crew would be there in the early morning and basically would be waiting on you to discuss the plan. So however you'd like to proceed, you let me know and we'll go from there.
Harani's already up, ready to go.
Yeah. Iris is up and ready to go, has some of her notes just in case, and is ready to go to the command center.
Sigurd's been up probably about an hour doing some meditating, but he, upon realizing everybody's heading there, he follows.
Okay. For the record, everyone's stomachs are full too. Like a very basic, the Star Wars equivalent of a continental breakfast sort of thing is brought around, so you're able to get something to eat. All the details about it. Yeah, something like that. No, you know somebody's always on that waffle machine. You ain't gonna get no waffles.
That's why I said space tacos. It's the frozen ones on the toaster.
Shannon, if you don't get to the yogurt before 4 o'clock, what happens?
You should have got there early, bitch.
They locked the fridge.
Yeah.
You all regroup at some point along the way there, whether you all leave your rooms, surely not simultaneously, but more or less over the course of the making your way to the bridge, you regroup as a group. Groz looks like he slept. In fact, he looks like maybe he slept a little too hard. Like, the hair is kind of... I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if you can see me. It won't be great for the audio, but it's kind of like that.
It's always something about Mary look.
Yeah, it's a mane.
Yeah.
It's always something about... Well, hang on.
You know, I got most of it. I got most of it.
It's always something about Mary. Now, the thing is, I can't change Guido Aquila. I can't do that. But I can do this one. It's always...
For all you Star Wars fans
out
there,
that's the Hallmark movie channel version of it.
If you happen to be a Star Wars fan, which if you're listening to the show, I hope so, you'll be happy to know that Tanner thought that Greedo's name was Guido.
Guido Aquila. Anyway. As you all arrive at the command bridge, you can see, actually you don't see Lady Alderite at first. You can see there are quite a few other kind of rough looking ship captains, but they're talking quietly. There's approximately 15 to 20 people kind of milling about a holographic display. From a distance, this holotable, the scene that is displaying, is positively chaotic. It's not clear exactly what is the point of showing what's being shown, so we'll kind of come back to that. But you do, before you spot Lady Alderite, come across a couple of familiar faces. Captain Verana, who formerly manned and captained the Resurgence, Adrian, is there, along with Captain Serona O'Keefe, who of course flew your ship long before you guys had the Midnight Coterie. The two of them appear to be in sort of a deep conversation, but they turn and acknowledge the both of you. Verana, of course, gives his little... He's also kind of a jaunty little salute kind of guy. Very military, but he's kind of, you know...
That means he got healed up fine.
Yeah. He appears to be in good shape. Serona, on the other hand, kind of does the upward sort of head nod in the general direction of everybody, but she grins in the aftermath of it. On your approach, you can see now, as you get closer to that holotable, that the holograph itself, or the hologram, I should say, appears to show a single massive planet around which there are, again, hundreds, if not thousands, of ships and space stations that are in continuous orbit. You're also, what you were seeing from a distance are, like, various explosions and laser fire and sorts of things. By the time you reach the projector, Lady Alderite ends the conversation that she's having. You can now see that the sea of people has kind of parted to reveal her. She turns to you, no longer dressed in the sort of over-the-top heiress kind of look that you saw her before. It's a much more, Padme, by the time she's getting into combat in the prequels. It's that same kind of concept, but a lot more combat-oriented, leadership-oriented. She turns to all of you, brightens up actually a bit, and says, "My dear friends, it is good to see you alive." Now you see that brightness drop a little bit and says, "Bale told me about Master Denia, and she will be sorely missed." At that, she lingers in particular on the two Jedi. But starting to walk and very clearly expecting you to walk and talk, as she moves around the command bridge, she says, "I'm afraid, though, we have little time for mourning. Too many lives have already been sacrificed to stop now. While you were traveling to Praketh, I sent out the call for all of my contacts in the Deep Core, and one of them brought some very timely data." She actually takes something from someone as she passes and says a quick thank you to them. "Not only have we discovered the location of the Sarlacc project above the planet Biss, but we have also obtained a full readout of the vessel's defenders, and we know that the project, while not yet complete, is within weeks of being so." She stops and wheels to address all of you. "What I have proposed to my captains," and she gestures to everyone from this side of the room, "is a mission to destroy the prototype. We have enough ships to distract its defenders, but we cannot hope to beat them and destroy the ship. Just survive. What we need is someone to take control of their defenses and turn them against the prototype." And of course, she pauses for a minute, looking to all of you, and says, "I suspect you are on the same page as me. You are obviously our best and likely only hope for that happening." So, she pauses for an opening, if anyone has anything to say, any questions.
Sigurd, realizing how bad Graz's hair looked, he goes,
"Pet the Wookiee. Pet the boy."
I mean, so our typical infiltrate and take over.
Yeah, although she does sort of laugh and says, "But this one's going to be anything but typical."
I can't imagine anything's less typical than what we've seen so far, so.
I'm gonna ask, I was going to ask if any Bothans died to bring her that information.
Tiny.
Oh.
Well, goodbye.
Gobble, gobble, goddamn, Star Wars.
What a time. So she starts outlining basically what little they have. It's kind of like Rocket. They have about 11% of a plan. Or I guess Quill, actually. Rocket makes fun of him for it. So the plan as it stands is for the smuggler fleet to jump into the Beshkek system, which is where Biss is located. They will engage the Sarlacc project's defenses. Then they will feign a retreat as though they didn't quite know what they were getting into. While feigning retreat, they're going to use that to draw the defenders away from the Superstar Destroyer, which you know the Sarlacc Project to be now, and its Golan defense platform. So basically, they know that it is supported by that. She can tell you more about that later. Your strike team will infiltrate that defense platform, seize control of the weapon complement, and turn it onto the project itself, onto the Superstar Destroyer. Undefended, it should not take long for it to become so much debris that drifts into the atmosphere of Biss. Then you and the smuggler fleet will actually retreat, jump to light speed, and leave Biss far behind. That is the plan as it is. She can share any additional information for any questions that you have or any things that you would like to add to this now. She's definitely open to suggestions.
Ronnie just gives a sarcastic, friendly thumbs up.
A jaunty
thumbs up.
A jaunty one.
Come on, Iris, you're the leader.
I mean, we've made do with everything else we've done thus far. Like, how is this any different?
Ronnie is going to smile and say, you know, it says something about this little group that now when they tell us to rush headfirst into death, we don't even ask questions.
Or for payment. Sorry.
or for payment. Right, Graz?
I mean, you've seen what these people we've gone up against are doing. Like, yeah, I like a paycheck as much as the next person, but I'd like to think that we've grown a little more since then through all of this.
Not much that credits will do if an empire holds the economy, or if an empire kills everyone who opposes it.
Plus, Sager's kind of curious to see if whoever's responsible for the downfall of his brother might be there.
Okay. She's quite satisfied that you guys are willing to go along with the plan. Lady Aldrea will add a couple of additional pieces of information. She does mention the smuggler fleet is ragged, as you might have expected by this group. She's razzing them. They kind of laugh and give her a hard time about it. She says, but it is well defended and it is captained by some of the best in the galaxy. She says, given the fact that the defense forces around Biss are probably not quite what they will be if this is allowed to continue, they are expecting that the fleet can survive about 20 minutes of direct fire, plus another 20 during the foe retreat. If we can find any starfighters to bear that take place in the conflict, call it an additional 10 minutes. But they do not expect to last more than an hour. So this is going to be a quick in and out process, or at least it has to be if you expect to get anybody out or to survive any of this.
Don't plan on staring at the flora and fauna abyss too long. Got it.
She says, if you're not fully read up on Golan defense platforms, they're basically what they sound like. They are things that are put in place around stable starships, things that are just in orbit, to add to their complement of weapons. And so, again, the idea is to turn the weapons on the platform against the thing that the platform is docking at that moment. Pretty much turn the cannons back on the ship that you're on and fire.
Right.
Sounds like some slicing is in order. And Sigurd winks at Hirani.
She makes mention that while she is quite aware of Ms. Tar's capabilities, she would also add to that that she has a number of slicers that can alter Starship IFF transponders and other transmitters to disguise at least a small number of your ships as Imperial vessels. Now, this obviously will not stand up to close visual inspection, but it should be enough to fool sensors on the way in.
Reynard,
you can offer that much.
Reynard's actually going to speak up, knowing how, being an Imperial agent and knowing how the Empire works, he's concerned, and he asks if there's any, do they know who is on that Super Star Destroyer?
Between their information and Reynard's sort of known, well, I'll tell you what, make me a knowledge check. You can use yours instead of his.
God bless you, boy, because he's still level 13.
It's fine.
Although it's not good. It's only a plus 12. Hirani is a sweet girl. She's a strong girl.
Well, she dropped out of college to go be a rebel.
Hey, 23. That's not bad.
That's not bad. Basically, you would. I mean, there's no way of knowing any of this for sure. You're making educated guesses at this point. But between what Hirani knows about the Empire from interacting with them and what she's, you know, kind of been forced to study. Of course, it's their own kind of propaganda, but whatever. What Lady Aldrete knows, and what, of course, Rander knows from having been a part of the Empire at some point in time, it is likely that there is no more than a skeleton crew on the Super Star Destroyer. Now, a ship that big, a skeleton crew is still a lot of people, but it's probably not the full complement that you would normally expect. There is very likely some admiral in charge of keeping things up and running. It's also not out of the question, though it's not immediately clear, that most of these things are probably currently manned by droids. A lot of that skeleton crew may not be human. Droids are more controllable, right? They're easier to keep in line. They are more expensive, but the Empire obviously doesn't care about that anymore. So if this, you know, this being the secret project that it is, they're probably trying to involve as few human or humanoid things as possible. That much you can at least assume, if not anticipate.
Reynard has a look on his face, but keeps quiet.
Okay. Anything else? Oh, I should mention also in that the being that this project hasn't reached completion, you would probably easily assume that most of the systems are not online. What right. is and isn't online is unclear, obviously, without actually being there. So weapons, life support, who's to say? But more than likely, everything is not up and running.
Always assume weapons.
We get
safety and sanity.
We get on the ship. There's no life support. Everyone immediately chokes to death, and the game's over.
I mean, we have spacesuits.
Always with the spacesuits.
It's Hunter walking into that cat cafe.
See, I got my space pants, so.
Piranha now, has
the important part is you're going to have to get back to that spot so you can pick up your credits before you die again. You want to get back.
And don't get invaded by Darth
Right, don't
spirit.
Get it, no. Don't start summoning your friends in.
Don't summon the mimic tier. It takes half your life.
In effect, the idea is to basically tear away a large chunk of the ship's hull that would give you access to the reactor, basically. It'd give you a way to get inside and do something about it. So, there you go. Basically, at this point, Lady Aldri says, if you have no further questions, we're prepared to make a move when you're ready. We're kind of not really at your mercy, but they're looking to you to make this plan work.
Harani says she's excited about this plan. She's proud to be part of it.
It's Miller time.
I don't believe her.
She is so bratty and eye-rolly at this point, it's almost insufferable.
Almost.
So, with no objections, then Lady Aldrete turns to her people. She kind of repeats the things that she's talked to you guys about, just to make sure everyone's on the same page. It's a pretty inspiring little speech. She's very clearly making mention of the fact that the rebellion sparks today, and that this can be achieved if they all work together. And with no further objections, she says, then man your fighters, and may the Force be with you. O'Keefe and Verana are both taking part of the mission. Actually, you get a chance to chat with them a little bit. They will mention that Captain Verana has been put in charge of Blue Squadron. It's a collection of starfighters that have been cobbled together from various smuggler crews. Captain O'Keefe is going to be flying her own ship, the Banshee, but she's serving as Verana's wingman and executive officer. Lady Aldrete, in fact, is also leading her ship directly into battle, so it's not like they're leaving this behind and she's sitting on the sidelines. Everybody is making their way to Biss at this point in time. B-Y-S-S, if you want to look it up, by the way, the planet Biss.
And a young upstart pilot named Pork. I can't.
Oh, Jack Porkins.
I can't.
Jack Porkins, who is a slim and trim 180, 6'2".
Prime of his life.
As they go to leave, you hear somebody describing something to him called the McRib. he says, oh, that sounds good.
I might have one of those later.
Oh, no.
Wedge Antilles is the one that did it, I heard. He's the one that said the
His actual
word.
Name is Wilbur. He gets Porkins later.
It was Wedge! It was Mooney! So basically, this is your last chance to stop and say anything to these people, potentially. I mean, you know, depending on who survives and who doesn't. There's a very real feeling in the air at this point as everyone makes their way to the docking bay that this is the last time you could all see each other. So if you have anything to say, any goodbyes, now's the time to do it.
Harani's just going to give everybody that Jim Cornette sign off. Thank you, fuck you, bye.
Harani,
wish them luck, and
she gives the biggest smile she's ever given, just the biggest fakest smile with both thumbs up, and says, "May the Force be with us all." And then she walks away.
Verana looks at O'Keefe and goes, "I don't think she meant that."
She's been through a lot on the last couple trips.
O'Keefe just lean over and go, I think he's talking to you.
Steel.
Okay.
So the
coterie is queued up and ready to go. Jack is actually standing outside the ship when you guys arrive, and he says that he has been offered basically to be part of a crew for another ship, that they're glad to take him on. If you guys have your own kind of setup, if you need help, he's glad to remain around.
Bring him.
She just, I mean,
it's Harani's ship, so.
Yeah, Harani just looks at it and says, you're probably going to die either way, so who do you want to die with, us or them?
He actually sort of laughs at that. You can tell that he spent a lot of his life like worrying that that's around the corner at any point. He says, no offense, but they have offered me a co-pilot option. And hey, if you're going to go out. And just kind of leaves it at that. So he once again.
Well, good luck, buddy.
She pats him on the shoulder and gives him a legitimate, like, non-sarcastic nod and says, good luck.
Yeah. All right, so he's going to head off to... He actually, if you watch long enough, you would see him head off to Serona's ship into her, okay. like the crew that's heading out with.
Wait, you say we don't see him trip on the Skywalk?
Impales himself on the ship wing, and that's the end of him.
Trips into crash.
He turns walking, you just hear, yeah. The gravity was still on in that area. He didn't know. He thought he could just kind of hop, skip, and jump.
Where'd Jet go?
Nothing. I need to get a Jack Seiko image in this style of ass, Dan.
Well, they asked him. They said,
"I'm gonna live forever, Bear."
They told him that he could join the ship and not die if they could explain why he should be allowed to without using the letter E.
I'm a good pilot guy.
And then they hit the button. I didn't say it. You will E.
You will. Okay, so the coterie is ready to go. It's all fueled up. Everyone's welcome to take their positions. Hirani, as you prepare to take off, make me a pilot check.
This time I'll do +28 instead of plus. Wait, goddamn it!
And actually,
I still did it wrong. I still put 28. It's 18. Sorry.
Okay. Before you do all of that, make an endurance check first. You are running on no sleep.
She's so bad on sleep that she didn't even realize how many dice she had put in there. It's terrible. All right. Oh, this will go well. 14.
14 for endurance? Okay, now make your pilot check.
I don't want to. I don't want to be a pilot. All right.
I mean, you got Graz, technically.
That's true. He has a better pilot than me. Or do we take his pilot away?
No, he has a +20.
Can he assist, since we're both doing, you know...
Yeah, he's going to need to, probably.
Well, let me watch me ace this. I did not ace it. I got a 24.
Yeah, Graz is basically going to... You go to fire things up, and Graz can see just, like, the glaze in your eyes. And so he actually just leans over and starts toggling switches and pressing buttons. That's and getting things up and running. That seems to be enough. Like, as he's leaned over, he kind of gives you like the side eye and just a couple of like little like a little a-woos.
A-woos.
Pretty much just, yeah. Like, you all
right? I will help.
You're right there, Chief. You need help is what he's pressing now.
He's got a new button that says, what's up? What's up?
What's up with that?
He has one that just says, what's up with Claymation?
What is it?
What's up with it?
You should see, he's got three buttons in a row. One says to be fair, and then he hits the other one that goes to be fair, and then it just kind of goes from there. Sorry.
Eventually, the ship, he gets the ship righted. You're able to work together to get it in locked into the coordinates that were given to you to make the jump to hyperspace to the planet Biss. This is a pretty quick jump. It doesn't even take the 2 hours that the previous one did. 15-20 minutes is what we're talking about here. So unless you need to do something in that time, I'm glad to just kind of hand wave it and move on.
Moving on.
Okay. As you drop out of hyperspace, depending on where everyone is, again, particularly Hirani and Graz would definitely see this from the cockpit, immediately in front of you hovers a very oddly sort of colored planet. Biss has like orange land masses from a distance. It looks like purple sort of oceans. It all casts the cockpit in a really eerie glow. The atmosphere alters sort of the coloration from a distance there. But maybe even drawing your eyes away from that more concerningly is absolutely with ease the largest capital ship you have ever seen in your life. The dagger-shaped hull of a superstar destroyer, known, of course, to you as the Sarlacc Project, as it is the only one, it is a prototype at this point, looms incredibly large against the backdrop of the planet Biss. The defense platform that you were told about that appears to be anchoring the ship to some degree looks tiny in comparison. It looks like it's the sort of thing that moves along to make repairs and changes and add defense. All around you, you're already seeing flashes of light. Starships are bursting into flames and then flickering out. You can see the glowing light of turbo lasers streaking between the vessels. The fleet has already begun distracting the defenders, and now is the time for you to strike. As best you can tell, the plan is working. There appear to be... make a perception check, anybody who can see out the ship at this point.
I'm assuming I can because I went to the gunner's chair just in case we have issues.
28.
Okay.
19.
Yeah. It would make sense that I could see the most. I'm right there piloting.
Right,
go
ahead. Right.
Yep.
I'm stalling for Tanner. There it is. Okay.
32.
Okay. Sigurd, for you, this is more through the force than it is anything. But for Harati and Graz both in the cockpit, the two of you can see that, again, it looks like the plan is working. There only appear to be a few small patrols actually near the Star Destroyer itself. There are a couple of Skip Ray blast boats, is what they're called, if you want to look them up, and a few elite TIEs that are moving about the area that are not currently engaged in any kind of dogfighting. Sigurd, you, however, in particular, can tell, no matter where you are, whether you can see out of the ship or not, one of them is on a direct course with your ship. They are going to pass the coterie within seconds. The question is, what will they do about it? So it's up to you with what you want to do with that information. But they're on the way, and they're going to be there very, very soon.
Do I have time to... Well, I'm imagining I came forward to the cockpit to, you know, be able to see what's going on since we're coming out of hyperspace. So I'm going to pass that information off to Graz and Harani in hopes that maybe some kind of evasive maneuver could be taken to get us out of here.
Okay. Harani, I'm going to give you a couple of options. You and Graz are going to have to make a couple of different checks here for this to work. Lady Aldrete's slicers were able to alter your transponder, so you do know that that will aid some checks in terms of sensors, like radar sensors. They're not going to be able to immediately tell that you're a non-Imperial vessel. In fact, they assume that you are one. Visual inspection is going to be very different, because you are very clearly not an Imperial vessel. So you're going to have to make a couple of moves here. One option would be for you to try to hail them over comms and deceive them. That's obviously going to be a deception-based deal. you also could attempt a use computer check to continuously alter your transponder in such a way that it would scramble their comms and they may not be making visual inspections, that you might be able to basically cause a diversion. Or you could simply try to pilot around them. Graz will get to make one of these checks as well, so it's up to you how you want to do this.
What is Graz? I forget. Is Graz pretty good at use computer?
He is not.
Okay.
He has a +9 to that.
You probably want Graz to pilot.
Of the three things I described, he has a +20 to pilot. It's his best skill check outside of initiative.
Let's do that. I didn't know if we did the pilot thing, if that was automatically going to like do something. But if we could do both, I'll do a use computer check to try to F him up while Graz pilots around it.
Okay.
Here is my roll. It is a...
Nat 20.
Yep. 43.
That's good news, because Graz didn't roll so well. The pilot check, basically Sigurd doesn't really arrive in time to tell Graz what to do, just so much what's happening. He does not know if that means bank left, bank right, move up. Just, they're coming, so what do you do about that? Harani, however, you are able to quickly pop into your transponder, alter a couple of different numbers and codes and such that the patrol does not appear to immediately note your ship. However, they do pass by it in that moment. Very close. Too close for comfort. You're going to need to make some additional moves to ensure that they don't come back around for a second look. Okay. So at this point, and I'll start opening this up to other people, we can make a stealth check. Now, this would only be applicable to somebody who is actually piloting the ship, basically as a way of trying to take, an evasive maneuver, but less evading combat and more trying to kind of hide in the action that's ongoing. We can make another pilot check. However, Graz is not going to be eligible to make that at this point because he has already attempted that and did not succeed. You can also, once again, since you haven't done it, make a deception check and try to hail them over comms and at the very least confuse them or keep them busy until you manage to get through to where you want to be.
So I do have a jamming array on the ship. Does that help in this scenario at all? I don't think I've ever really used these things.
I think we put that into the kind of rolls here, but yeah, I'll count it as part of the bonuses. Although, to be fair, from a logistics standpoint, at this point, jamming their comms would look suspicious because they've already had you on radar, so to suddenly drop off of them would be not great.
Harani's going to hail them and try deception and basically play it off as if they are... that they are... I'm trying to think of a good lie here. That maybe they are undercover, that they're not in an Imperial ship because they're trying to blend in with the enemy to make it easier to get closer to them to target them.
Okay, sounds good. Make the roll. Anybody else? Cross has a 15 in stealth. I can do that if you'd rather him do that than a plus.
Mine's 11. I can certainly try to chip in, but it's not going to be great, I assume.
All right, well, here is my deception. 33.
I've got a 14 in stealth. I can try.
That's Lindsay, up to you. Lindsay, don't you have Process like a 900 in stealth?
I have an 18. Yes, I could do stealth.
Let's say you gonna speak up, or you gonna let us all just sit here and hold our lightsabers?
Well, I mean, I'm not in the cockpit. Is the problem?
That's true. That's
but
true.
But I could move
up there. I'll let you use that stealth check to basically aid another to kind of tell Groz where to go, basically, because that was the problem before. He didn't really know where to go and what to do.
Okay.
If you move up behind a seat and start pointing in directions, you can kind of give him a better idea of what to accomplish.
Okay. We can do that. And that is a 31.
Okay. That's pretty good. Let's add that to this. That's not bad. It's better than it was before in any case. Yeah. So through a combination of Harani popping over comms to the immediate area, probably just the patrol that passed you, and basically throwing in some Imperial jargon. Raynard's kind of, you know, talking into her ear, giving her some old codes. You know how it is. They're old codes, but they still check out. It's that kind of thing. And Groz being able to kind of take some evasive maneuvering behind a couple of different things and kind of get out of their radar before they have a chance to respond, you get the idea that you are likely approaching unaffected at this point. And actually, to the point that you're able to kind of slip through some of the fighting and reach the defense platform. Get all the way up to it basically as close as possible. Coming into the docking bay, Harani, now that you're kind of back in the pilot seat, make me a pilot check if you would, please.
Old drunk Harani. Didn't even know what she's doing up there. Exactly. That's a 20.
Ooh.
Okay.
Groz can attempt to assist, but I can't make any promises here. Yeah, that ain't great either.
would using a force point help in this scenario?
Yeah, you can certainly try. It's a skill check.
Are we beyond the point of helping on that?
I cannot tell you that.
I know.
You beyond the point of no return.
You have 3d6s to roll. I can tell you that much.
I'm going to do it. Why not?
Okay.
I love that we're already at the precipice of burning a destiny point the first episode.
A 4. It puts me at 24, which isn't perfect.
24 with Graz's success to aid another and adding a little more is enough without giving you the specific numbers to tell you that. You're very fortunate, let's put it that way, that force point is actually very accurate. Given that your sensor profile and your IFF transponders have been disguised, coming into the docking bay, basically you're waiting on someone to hail you and identify your ship personally, and then you hear a robotic droid voice come over and start giving you information about docking. You were right. There are droids that are manning the docking bay. So a visual inspection on their part, even though they can't see, they don't care. They don't know any different. They're not human. So them passing that information along it shows you that there's a pretty solid lack of suspicion from the traffic controls because, again, they're droids. So you are actually able to pretty much land your ship right in the belly of the beast. The Coterie comes in for a landing. There are a handful of other ships around. They're not TIEs, for the record, because it doesn't appear that there are any humans or humanoids in the area. You see droids moving about here and there, but no immediate resistance to your appearance.
Ooh.
What would you like to do?
I want to survey the area and see what kind of droids we actually have around.
Like specific droids?
I want to make sure there's nothing left over from the CIS here that could harm us.
There are... any of them could harm you. I don't know how to put this differently.
Well, no, Hunter is a friendly robot.
There are lots of different kinds of droids. This time, there are lots of different droids. I can't say off the top of my head how many there are. It would be difficult for you to count. This is a large docking bay, but you see everything from astromechs to protocols to, yes, some security droids.
Okay.
Yeah. The best way I know to answer that question is... no part of you thinks that there's no way you could not be attacked. That's what I got.
Okay.
Harani wants to hack all the droids.
What is that bit from the, I want to get a good grade in bookstore, something that is both possible to achieve and right to want.
Yep.
Man, should have asked for ion grenades too.
One of you boys has ionized as a power still.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
I think Harani's going to speak up. I think maybe we shouldn't try to fry the droids immediately. Like, maybe let's try to just work our
sneak
way
around.
Through. Yeah.
Okay. You're not off the ship yet until you tell me that you are. I just assume you landed the ship and you're there. In the time that you've been discussing this, nothing has happened. Short of just the basic comm chatter. If you tune into the smuggling fleet channel, I mean, you can hear, you know, call outs of, you know, blue
Otherwise,
six,
we've,
in, that sort of thing.
We're on a time limit here.
Are there
so.
Any humans at all, or is it all robots?
As far as you can tell visually, there are only droids.
Okay.
You Real do quick, not see any humans around.
Can we radio in and inform Blue Leader that, you know, we're on board without being detected?
Yeah, that's probably a good idea. I kind of just assumed that, but yeah, I think that's worth that. Yeah, absolutely. You can tune in to Verana's channel. You can hear that he's issuing commands, but you're welcome to speak up.
All right, well,
you go ahead.
I was going to say, Harani would just... you say that, and Harani says, what do we do now? We're surrounded by robots.
Verana hails back something to the effect of, that's good news, Black Leader. Keep at it.
We need to move out is what we need to do.
Right, go, son of a bitch. All right. Yes, let's move out.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, you leave the
Sneakily.
Ship. There are, again, droids. Oh, okay. Make stealth check then.
All right.
Yeah, that's kind of, I'm like, stealthy exit.
Let's let the stealthy people stealth first.
Yes.
Graz is stealthier than you think.
You see, the kids.
Groz got a
stealth.
Groz got a plus 15 in the stealth.
Jesus. Is Groz the second stealthiest person in this party?
I've got an 18.
So it's you two.
I got a 19.
I've got a 14.
See, also, I am the least stealthy person in this party by a healthy margin. Great.
Part of that is because stealth is governed by dex, and he has a 20 in dex. So.
Gotcha.
I got a 22. Yeah,
and dex was a dump stat for your Jedi boy.
I got a 29. Nice.
Graz also got a 19. I forgot to roll with the 20 there, but
Kruskog just rolled a nat 20.
Did I? Okay, there it goes. I saw Sigurd's roll and not my own, and it's obscured by my character.
Your profile
at the
picture.
Of the screen. Yeah, I was like, 31.
I will tell you that Iris and Kruskog both are pretty confident regardless of where they are in the lineup in terms of people getting on and off the ship, and I should have had you establish a marching order, but it's okay.
I would have gone first.
I would have brought
the remaining three of you are for various reasons not as stealthy as you would hope to be, and you know that you're making enough noise that if you were to draw attention, you would draw it. That has not happened. There are actually, now that you get out of the ship, you can see that a lot of the droids that were moving about are leaving the hangar area. There's only a couple of black and silver astromechs that are still just kind of tutoring around and doing their thing.
I see Harani and Graz and Sigurd all walking together, and then they each, like, kick the same step or something and make the same loud noise, and they all stop and look at each other, and no one cares, so they kind of loosen up and go, oh. All right. Well, is there anywhere that Harani can, is there anywhere she can maybe slice into, maybe get some schematics so they know where they're going, anything like that?
Possibly. It looks like there are, well, make a perception check.
Okay.
I'll tell you what you do and don't know.
Okay. And my roll, 27.
Okay. Yeah, just taking a quick glance around the room because you're still, you know, a little bit on edge, a little concerned. You guys are in the heart of the Sarlacc project, I think you've been after since the beginning of this. There are a couple of basic control panels that look like they are currently unmanned. It looks like you probably won't receive any resistance if you go up and just kind of play it cool.
Okay. Then that is what I want to do. Go up there, play it cool. Okay. Casually slice.
Yeah, I won't make you make a stealth check. You're starting basically just trying to hack into the hack into the mainframe.
While she's slicing into that, can Sigurd possibly, you know, do the thing where he looks through the force for other force users?
Sure.
Yeah, me.
You look up how that works.
I am the force.
Me.
I don't want any of his testicles on my salad.
If I remember correctly, it was
Art.
I don't know what the DC is, which is that's up to you, I think.
It would be, I'm sure.
Sometimes
39 on the computer check, by the way.
Because I don't remember finding this in the book.
It's an application of Use the Force. You have to look under Use the Force and skills. You're looking for Sense Force. It's on page 77.
Okay.
And yeah, no, it is a standard DC that is set up. So yeah, you could do that. What's your bonus to Use the Force?
19.
Don't roll a 1.
He rolled a 19.
I rolled a 19.
All right. Ronnie, I'll come back to you, but you feel confident that you're making some headway with the central computer. Sigurd, you reach out through the force, and you can definitely feel that there is something nearby. It feels clouded. Let me figure out just how clouded. Yeah, pretty fucking clouded. Something is nearby. Something, someone, some things. There is a dark presence. But you're also at the heart of a secret Imperial project. Like, it is immediately unclear as to where and what is sending out that kind of signal. But you do, let me put it this way, you got a bad feeling about this. That's what I've got for you at this
point. Guys?
Yeah.
Yeah, you gonna tell us that?
I've got a bad feeling about this.
Hirani, as he says that, you manage to get through just enough of the defenses to find the direct location of something, basically like a little kind of map, a little schematic of, something called the Command Bridge. It occurs to you that that might be where you want to be if you're basically wanting to reroute the defense platform's defenses.
Okay. I will relay that information to the party and say we're looking for the command bridge.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, pitter patter. Let's get at her.
And then I'm going to press tab on the keyboard so it brings up an overlay map over the screen so that way I can always see where I'm going while I move, like in Diablo.
Yeah, that's what you want. Yeah.
Yeah.
always active HUD.
It looks like the command bridge is probably, you're expecting if you move at a good clip, no more than about 5 minutes away. In terms of what might be between you and there, it's not clear.
Okay. She looks at Iris and says, it's that way. You lead.
All right. I'll take point.
Anybody moving stealthily?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll give it another shot.
Like everything at this point is going to hopefully be us moving stealthily.
I got a 31 this time.
No, it's certainly worth asking. I just
Groz didn't fuck it up this time.
36.
Hey.
Let's do it again.
26.
23.
Okay. Kruskog, you're less confident about moving. Excuse me, quietly this time. Would you make me use the force check real quick, please?
Sure. I need to actually save my new modifier. It's a little bit higher this time. There we go. 38.
Gosh, damn.
Despite the fact that you are extremely well trained in the force, you feel something pressing against your mind. Someone is actively trying to discover your location. And it is almost painful how much it takes you to stop and fight back. This actually is what affects your stealth, your ability to move quietly. It's enough that you, like I said, are feeling like pain, like a headache, but simultaneously it's like a nerve pain. You ever sneeze too hard and kind of hold it in a little bit, and that shooting pain just goes through your whole body? It's that, but worse. It forces you again to stop, at least momentarily, and focus all your energy in shielding your, basically clearing your mind. Whether you tell any of this aloud is totally up to you. They don't know this.
I will be.
I was going to say, Sigurd would probably recognize more than anybody what you're dealing with, Harani, to a certain degree, but it is clear that something is wrong.
Yeah. No, I will very... Once we're kind of in a safer locale where I can speak a little freely, I'm going to note, there is a presence here. There is something, someone here that wants to find us, and they're trying incredibly hard.
Yeah, I reached
all
out
the more reason
force.
For us to keep moving faster.
I Sarah's gonna share that. I reached out through the force earlier just to see if I could get a sense of any other force users here, and there's something definitely clouding my ability. So something's going on. You're right.
Okay. As you continue on, eventually you reach quietly, surprisingly quietly. It's too quiet for that matter. What you believe to be the command bridge, the primary command bridge. While it is quite expansive, full of computer panels, has a large open sort of bay window to the. It gives a pretty impressive view of the battle that's happening outside. The room is shut down. When you enter, the lights are off, all the computer systems seem to be shut off, which should probably strike you as odd, not to mention there's nobody there.
Could this be a decoy? Meese thinks we've walked into a trap.
Let's be honest, Biss is an entire planet. It's probably a trap for us.
Is there a light switch?
You would assume that it would have triggered when you came in, but you can go manually fiddle with it if you want. You can make a mechanics check.
Well, we can see what's in the room, right? Like, it's not so dark
see. Okay. Yeah. Okay. No, in fact,
I'm gonna get my blaster pistol in hand just in case.
Yeah, I would say I'm also pulling out my weapons.
Yeah, Gross is going for that hammer.
Not pulling it out, but you don't want to see my hand where my hip be yet.
Lightsaber
kill. Then he'll move it forward and hit you.
That's right. Glad we all picked up where I was going. Thank you.
We're in double blaster mode at the moment, for the record.
Do you really want to be in double blaster mode if we need you for computers?
I can always put one up. Or I can put it in my mouth and hold it while I type. You know?
Again. I don't think it's a good idea to lick those things.
I guess we just move forward, right?
Gonna be just a second, so take a minute to decide.
Okay, while he's doing that, on a side
note, I don't know where else to go, so I'm assuming we need to just enter and
see
what we can find.
Where does it lead? Up.
While we have a second, I want to say to everyone listening and to you guys that today I haven't felt well, so I've been laying in my chair all day, and I ended up watching Resident Evil Welcome to Raccoon City, and it was awful. Like, not in a fun way.
The newest one is also bad?
It makes the original one look like high horror art. Like, the CG was worse than the originals, somehow. The characters were completely inaccurate. You thought the characters in the Anderson films were bad. In this one, Leon is a bumbling idiot who everyone makes fun of, and he can't do anything right. He literally does nothing. The STARS elite members are just cops at RPD. The casting choices are a little bit weird. Like, none of the people look like the characters they're portraying. It's weird. And it was boring. It was incredibly campy. Like, I don't understand what they were going for with this movie. I really don't. It felt like a sci-fi movie. Like, if they made it for the Sci-Fi Channel.
Oh, is what
it
felt no. Like.
Yeah. So,
going back looking, because I've done nothing of it, looking at the cast. So it's got the woman that played Ghost in Ant-Man and the Wasp. It's got Robbie Amell, so, you know, the lesser Amell.
He was the only person in that movie that I believed was the character. He was well cast. Everybody else was like...
I'm about to say, he seems like he could play Chris.
Yeah, he was a good Chris Redfield. Hey, the guy that played Leon Kennedy isn't a bad actor. He just doesn't look anything like Leon, and his accent kicks in occasionally. Which is really strange. It's just it was a poor film. Somehow the original Resident Evil movies were much better.
Which is a sad sign, since that first one came out in 2002. If you want to feel old,
the first Resident Evil, I maintain, is a pretty good movie. The rest of them, the first one
is a good movie.
Yeah,
it's just a shame that it's not. It wasn't really Resident Evil. That was the problem. If they hadn't injected the Alice character, I feel like they were right there.
I feel like the Alice character wasn't so bad in the first one, but as it went on, she was ridiculous. The first one, you could make the argument that they could have had that in the game and just didn't talk about it because she was the secret thing. But after the first movie, all the other movies were terrible. This movie has all the characters from the games in theory. Like, you know, we have oranges, we have apples in theory. And what it lacks in character accuracy, it makes up for in On the Ground.
On the Ground.
On the Ground.
Yeah.
Oh, I will never not. I lost my mind at
you
that.
You broke.
Okay. It was bad. If I've ever broken on the show, it was that time. So I should make mention that at this point, it's not clear where to go from here. All roads sort of seem to lead to the primary command bridge. So it being shut down is, as I'm sure most of you have already decided, pulling your weapons, kind of a red flag. But Harani, based on the slicing you did earlier, it's not clear where else you might go from there, because pretty much you got into, main control panel, I'll just go there.
Right.
That hasn't panned out.
Harani, see if there's a... Or is it, maybe not Horizon. So anyway, is there any way we could see about getting the power turned back on to the bridge?
You could try. The immediate move would be to make some mechanics checks to get things up and running in here.
I can't really
use a computer if it's off. So
Harani's, she's spitting on her palms and she's going to get to work. We're looking at a... 41. Proud of that one.
Yeah, that's good. Harani, you start kind of fiddling with the tech in the area immediately before you, and pretty soon you get what looks like one of the main control systems up and running. That's all well and good, but you find out almost immediately that it looks like it's in some sort of safe mode, that it's only powered up basically to allow you access to the ship's internal computer and not to necessarily do any of the defense platform stuff.
Can she dig into the computer and see, find anything out?
You can certainly try. That'll be use computer.
Okay. Excuse me while I whip into this. 34.
Okay. Yeah, having already accessed this once before, you have a little more idea of what you need to do in the second go-around. Not to mention, you can kind of press your luck a little further into it before you think you might be caught. It becomes clear, basically, the critical information that comes out of this is that it looks like some time ago, not long ago, but some time ago, sometime in the past 24 hours... power was completely rerouted from the command bridge to an auxiliary bridge, something that you were not aware existed prior to this point. That appears to be located somewhere near the central reactor core for the whole platform. And that is likely where you need to be. The problem with that is it is significantly farther away from where you are, and you anticipate that if there's any sort of resistance, it's going to be between you and there.
Can she reroute the power back to this one?
It can try.
Oh, this is a mistake.
Is this mechanics again?
No, this is used computer.
Gotcha.
Well, if we've ever needed a nat 20, it's right now.
I
was going to say, can I assist? Because, like, over time, I've given myself more skills in it.
She's going to turn to the group first and say, I can try to reroute the power back to this bridge, but if anything goes wrong, that could be very bad for us. Do we want to do that, or do we want to walk it to the other area?
Gro's going to hit you with a Wookiee equivalent of, I'm a little fuzzy on the whole good-bad thing.
Either way, we're gonna have to fight people. We're gonna have to fight people to get to where we need to go, or we can fight them when they come here. I say bring them here.
There could be a difference though between fighting an entire group that knows we're here versus fighting, you know, piece by piece. Because if they figure out what we're doing, if anything goes wrong, they could send the entire, you know, whatever.
Ronnie, if you're not confident, we just need to go now because we do not have time.
Yeah, to punctuate that over comms, you do hear a couple of different ships, you know, calling out, no, I'm all right, I'm all right. Fighters are dropping outside.
She's got her fingers on the buttons. What do you want me to do, yay or nay?
Do it.
All right, she's punching it. Iris, you assist.
All right.
You said it's use computer again?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay. 42. But it's up against a 73, probably.
I got a 37.
Hirani, you work on this computer. You work in this program like you've never done before, basically. Anything you can do to get it to send some sort of power back to the bridge. Because basically, again, the goal is to take control of the defense system. While you do get access to several other systems and several other pieces of information along the way, at no point in time are you able to even access power routing here. So it does not look like you're going to be capable of doing that. However, what you do get access to is a much more sophisticated map of the area, of where you are and where you need to go, along with some mention of patrol routes and names of troops who are on board and that sort of thing. It's starting to look like, and I won't even make you make a check at this point, the droids are not the only ones here. And it's likely that, and this is probably the most concerning piece of information, somebody knew you were coming. And that's where we're going to stop for tonight.
Ah, damn it. I've got questions.
No.
All right. Inside the house.
They will all be answered at some point in time. But for now, we're going to cut it off there, guys. As always, thank you so much for joining us. We are in the end game now. The final episode, Jaws of the Sarlacc of the Dawn of Defiance campaign, will continue next week. Between now and then, Shannon, what do we got?
It's a busy week for us, Hunter. On Wednesday, yes, which is tomorrow, we have our WrestleMania preview, which yes, I myself will be there. I think you will be there. We'll see. Maybe we'll invite some special guests, or maybe some people from here would like to join in. I don't know. I was going to invite Asa and Dalton because I would love to have them on, but I know they're doing a WrestleMania preview on their own show, Nerdiest Part of the Ring. So,
which I think they record tomorrow night too, don't they?
It's either tomorrow or Thursday, but I doubt they want to do two episodes on the same thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so short of them wanting to do like a combo episode and we both just play it on each of our platforms, maybe, but we'll see. Yeah. We'll talk it over. And then Thursday,
I'll throw it in real quick, Cody Rhodes wins the Andre the Giant Battle Royale on the pre-show. Nobody knows he's there. Nobody cares. Cool.
If you don't think Cody Rhodes isn't fighting Seth Rollins, then you are
insane.
Yeah,
at this point, there's no way it's not happening.
I haven't been paying attention to anything. The only thing I saw in passing on Twitter was that,
they spent all of Raw last night setting up Seth going to talk to Vince and him saying, all you had to do was ask if you wanted to be on the card, pal.
I got a match
and
for you.
So he's,
yeah, but I heard that Vince is going to
opponent of his choosing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if it's not Cody
Plot
Rhodes,
twist, it's Austin Theory again.
It's Hornswoggle.
Okay, so one of the hints that the mysterious figure gave was he's already taken the title from Seth once.
Wait, what? When did they say that?
When did that happen?
Oh.
It was on Twitter.
Well, that's easy. It's when Cody Rhodes and Dustin Rhodes won the tag team titles from The Shield.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So, that's explained.
I don't remember there being a mysterious figure, hence this is new information.
Yeah, I didn't hear that either. We'll talk about that later. Thursday is our anniversary episode.
We've never missed a WrestleMania preview, so we got to do it. We've also never missed an anniversary.
Sure.
Right, and the WrestleMania previews are always great. The anniversaries are always terrible. So we'll see how this goes. I will invite everyone to that one. So, you know, hopefully, I do think Dalton and Ace will record that day, though, so I don't think they're going to be able to make it, but maybe they could pop in. That is probably it for the week. On Friday, I didn't get to do No Turning Back today because I have not felt good. I didn't want to cancel on this show, and I didn't think I had it in me to do, like, three shows back-to-back. So maybe we'll do it later this week. If not, we do have wrestling on Saturday, so that'll probably be it for the end of this week. But a lot of good shows still coming, so, you know, stay tuned.
And I'm still working on the Inquest. I did not get it recorded yet because I'm trying to get my music set up behind it, my background stuff for it. So, again, fingers crossed this coming weekend will be enough time I can make that happen. But we'll talk more about that later. Between now and then, guys, we'll see you next week. Dawn of Defiance coming back. Again, we're in the end game now. The final episodes, or the final installments of episode 10, The Jaws of the Sarlacc, coming your way soon. For now, for Shannon, for Lindsay, for Tanner, and for Cody, I am your Game Master Double H. May the Force be with you, and we'll see you soon. Later.